is under the unction of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But as the people of God, isn't it good to be in the house of God?
Yeah.
The Word of God. Let's stand together and let's read the scripture for today. I didn't realize that this was going to be the Baccalaureate Sunday when I picked up the scripture, but for those of you who are graduating, you may remember this is usually what they preach on graduation. It's from Jeremiah. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Today I have a lot of notes, so we could be here a long time. Does that scare some of you? No, but that means I'll be reading my notes more. And I have a couple of preacher friends that are African American, and they always precursor their message by saying, "I read my sermon, but it's just as anointed as if I didn't read it." And they are always right. Have you ever been to a black service? I mean, they really get into it. He'll be reading his notes, and someone will go, "Amen, come on, preach it." And that just gives them more unction, and they get going, and they sort of build up steam, and they get going. Why don't we get excited like that? You know, maybe we need to go bring some black people, some African Americans, bring my friends, bring a busload from Kansas City or wherever. And we can get excited about the Word of God. Right? Preaching today with peace with yourself. You know, there are a lot of people today, and it's sad to say that many of them are Christians, and they call themselves followers of Christ, that really aren't at peace with themselves. There's turmoil going on. There's anxiety going on. There's worry. There's fear. There's torment. There's all kinds of those things that are going on inside of themselves, and they cannot find peace with themselves. And you will never... No human being will ever find peace in themselves until they find peace with God. You're either at war with yourself and at war with God, or you're at peace with God because you have allowed Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, to come into your spirit being. Jeremiah, I love what he said. He's speaking from the Lord. He says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Not half of your heart, not 10% of your heart, but all of your heart. And so therefore, that's why many of us who are believers still find ourselves not at peace with ourselves, because we've not sought God with all of our heart. Let me encourage you today to find a way to seek God with all of your heart. Today, if you're taking notes, the first thing we're going to talk about is this. You are not alone. All people are traveling with you. Whatever you've gone through, someone else has already gone through it. What you're going through now, someone's going through it somewhere else in the world, or maybe even worse. And sometimes that's a piece of comfort to know that you're not the only one that's going through this. But when we're going through something that's really difficult, really trying, we feel like we're the only ones, right? And we want to give up, we want to throw in the towel. And Jesus is saying, "No, I have a feeling for your infirmity. I'm there with you. I want to carry this load with you. I want to walk through this valley with you." You see, all people are seeking the answer to the confusion that's in this world. And they're seeking an answer for the moral sickness that surrounds us in our society, and the spiritual emptiness that seems to be everywhere, that brings a dark cloud over their lives. You see, we're living in the age of anxiety. For the last couple decades, it's been estimated that more than half the population of the United States is on antidepressants and anti-anxiety medicine. Now, some of that is physical and chemical, but a lot of it is because we live in a world of uncertainty and fear. Jesus said this. He said, at the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear. So we know that we're living in the last days because we see the increase of this fear and anxiety, this age of anxiety, where people actually have to medicate themselves in order to make it through the day. And you know there's nothing wrong with that when your body chemistry breaks down. I'm not criticizing that at all. But there's something that God asks us to do in the midst of all that we have to fear and all the uncertainty in life and the confusion in the world that we're living in. He tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? We look around us and we see everything is going on and fear strikes us. And at that very moment, we need to go back to Him and say, Lord, I'm going to walk with You. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. We have run up one blind alley after another, trying to find peace in ourselves. Many have run up the pathway or the alleyway of materialism, only to find that it was a dead end. Many have run up the alley of entertainment and recreation, only to find that that doesn't fulfill, that still they're not at peace with themselves. And others have tried sex, and others have tried partying and doing drugs and alcohol, and some have tried relationships, but they all become dead ends until we seek the Lord with all of our heart. Then He will fill us with His peace, and He will fill us to a point where we no longer are not at peace with ourselves, but we are at peace with Him and ourselves. The second thing I want us to talk about today is you have the same happiness illusion as other people. Our children today, now when I was a kid, I could play with a stick for hours, mainly because we didn't have anything else. We didn't have all the electricity, the electronic things, we didn't have phones. You know, we had a phone in our house. People only had one phone, and it was a party line. And I loved walking in and catching my mother listening to other people. And just going, shh. And she'd get all the gossip in the neighborhood. And if the phone went ring, ring, that was for our neighbors three houses down. Remember that? And if it went ring, 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 that was for the neighbors to the south of us. And if it went ring, 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 three long ones, that was ours. Well, my mother picked them up on all of them and told us to go, shh. My mother's not here to defend herself. She's passed away. She's in glory now. And hopefully she's laughing as I'm talking about her. Mother's Day is coming up. But kids get so bored today. We didn't have anything to do back then, really, in comparison to what kids have today. And they get bored with what they have. Because the more financially secure we are, the more bored and insecure we become, the more materialistic we are, the more things we have, the easier it is to become discontent. The more everybody... the more everyday pleasure we enjoy, the less satisfied and contented we are with our lives. There's two kinds of happiness. And sorry to say that I find myself in this first category a lot, and I'm sure you do too. This first kind of happiness is when we are free from troubles and bad circumstances. Then we're happy. But then circumstances change and our happiness disappears. Anybody deal with that? Yeah, I deal with that. But there's a second kind of happiness that we can have. It's a blessing from God. It's a lasting inner joy and peace. And it survives any situation or circumstance. And that's having peace with God through Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus really, or is He just one of many other facets of your life? Is He Lord of all? Because if He isn't Lord of all, He's not Lord of anything. Amen? And you know, I'm going to take a little break here from the notes. So this may, I don't know where this is going, but I feel the Lord wants me to talk about this. The Holy Spirit is the one and only true Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes from outside, inside to our spirits, which were dead in trespasses and sins. And the Bible says we are born again of the Spirit. The minute that we accept Jesus Christ, His sacrificial death and His resurrection, then His Holy Spirit comes within us and our spirit comes alive. Until that time, our spirits are dead. Other religions and other philosophies try to find the spirit from within. Our spirits are dead until the true and living God, the Holy Spirit, comes in and changes our life and makes us alive in Christ. That's why in the Bible, in Corinthians, it's given us tools, gifts of the Holy Spirit, to know which spirit is of God and which isn't, because there's all kinds of spirits out there. There's false spirits. There's antichrist spirits. And it says in here that he's given to the church the discerning of spirits. So to be safe, I would say to all of us here today, seek God and seek his Holy Spirit. Because that is the spirit that will bring us comfort and bring us peace with ourselves and peace with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That was free. This peace that I talked about, the second peace that I talked about, that had happiness, is undisturbed by success or failure when we find it. It needs no outward stimulus. It's grounded in his peace, peace with Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus said in John 16:33. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of verses in the Bible I really don't like. Have any of you followed that? There's a lot of them I like and I can relate to. But this is one that I like some days and other days I don't. Okay? Here it goes. You ready? Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Here on earth you will have many trials and many sorrows." I don't really like that part. But it's a promise. You are going to have many trials. You are going to have many sorrows in your life. But he puts a but in there. I like that. He doesn't leave it like that. He says, "But take heart, because I have overcome the world." And I know I've said this 100 times, but what's over our heads is under his feet. And we need to run to him with unabandoned faith. I mean, we just need to come to him and surrender to him. The third thing I'd like us to talk today about, if we want to find peace in ourselves, is this. You have the same dilemma as other people. It's called brokenness. We live in a broken world. Every one of us here is broken. And everything that happens around us is in a broken world. And it will not be fixed until Christ comes back. That's what we're looking for. That's why we pray for his kingdom to come. Because we're living in a broken kingdom right now. Oh, aren't you looking forward to that day when the whole world will be filled with the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ? When he comes back and he steps and he has 1 foot on the earth, right? And 1 foot in heaven. And once again, he takes the title deed to earth and says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death." When he comes back and he does that, and he takes the title deed, and we, his followers, will reign and rule with him forever, and we will always be at peace with ourselves then. Praise God. So we have this dilemma as other people around us, is that we're broken. The writer of Lamentations said this, "Lord, see my anguish. My heart is broken and my soul despairs." Have you ever been there? Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you were there yesterday. Maybe you'll be there tomorrow. But the great thing is that God says in Psalms that he is near to the brokenhearted. Billy Graham, the greatest evangelist I've ever known, and I'm sure you have too, gives this testimony. He said, "My wife Ruth and I once visited an island in the Caribbean, and one of the wealthiest men in the world asked us to come to his lavish home for lunch. He was 75 years old, and throughout the entire meal, he seemed close to tears. Then the man said to Billy and his wife Ruth, he said, 'I am the most miserable man in the world. Out there is my yacht. I can go anywhere I want to go. I have my private plane. I have my helicopters, plural. I can go anywhere I want. I have everything I want to make me happy, yet I am miserable.' So Billy said, We talked to him and had prayer with him, trying to point him to Christ, who alone gives lasting meaning to life. And apparently he didn't accept Christ, because I think Billy would have told us. Then, Billy says, we went down the hill to the small cottage where we were staying, and that afternoon the pastor of the local church came to call on us, and he was an Englishman, and he too was 75 years old, and he was a widower. His wife had just passed away within the last year. He spent most of his time in his free time taking care of his two invalid sisters. Billy says he reminded me of a cricket, always jumping up and down, full of enthusiasm and love for God and others. Have you ever met anybody like that? You go, I want to be them. And the pastor said to both Billy and his wife Ruth, he said, I don't have $2 to my name, he said, with a big smile on his face, but I'm the happiest man on this island. And Billy said this to his wife Ruth, he says, who do you think is the richer man? And they both knew the answer. It's not what you have, it's who you have. It's not what you have, it's who you have. It's not what you have, it's who you have. It's not what you've done or where you've been, but it's who you have. Do you have Jesus Christ? Has your spirit been enlightened? Has your spirit been filled? Has your spirit come alive through the Holy Spirit? Then you can have peace with yourself, because you have peace with God. The next one I want to talk about. You have the same secret torment as others. It's called sin. We're not just bodies and souls. When I say soul, I'm talking about our mind, the intellect part of us. But we are also spirits that were made in the image of God. And until we allow the Holy Spirit to come in, until we accept Christ and we start to follow Him, that spirit remains dead. The Holy Spirit is what makes us alive in Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? If you are, nod your head. Okay, good. We've lost our image. Most people have. So we've lost peace with ourselves, and we've lost peace with God. And our insides are all torn up. And there feels like there's a war going on. Remember, Paul talked about that. The only time that war and that torment goes away is when we seek God with all of our heart, and we take the peace that Jesus Christ promised us. He said, peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but I give you a peace that is supernatural, that's out of this world. I give you this peace. It's no peace that you're going to get from meditation. It's no peace you're going to get from anything else. I have the peace. I am the Prince of Peace. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. That's why we need to be careful what spirit we're in. We have to have the discerning of the spirits. Satan will disguise himself, the scriptures, as an angel of light. We need the Holy Spirit. I'm going really deep today. I'm digging deep. I'm digging wells for you. Because you're gonna hit something, a trial along the way, and you're gonna need this. All hell's gonna break loose in your life. And something I said today, the Spirit will bring it back to your remembrance. So we're not just bodies and minds, we also have spirits that were made in the image of God. Our spirit demands as much attention as our body, if not more. Because guess what? This body is going to be discarded. Aren't you glad? You that are younger, you know, you're still trying to work on your bodies and make them better, and build them up and everything. Forget it.
Amen.
Just let it go now. No. The Bible talks about physical health, but physical is important, but not as important as the spiritual. And I'm paraphrasing that. But our spirits demand as much attention as our body, and it demands fellowship with God who made us. And unless we feed our spirits, we become weak and shriveled like a body without food. Now, I got this quote from a book, and I can't remember the author, but it was called The Key to Personal Peace. And in this book, this is what it said. It said, We are empty people in a world filled with empty relationships. I mean, think about it. Some people don't have any friends except for what they see on Facebook from day to day, or Instagram, or Snapchat. I get that right? I don't do that one yet. If something's going to disappear on me, I don't want to do it. And that's how they communicate. There's no face-to-face hardly. Unless we feed our spirits, we're going to be shriveled up, right? So we are an empty people in a world of empty relationships. Our heads are crammed full of knowledge. Our standard of living is the highest in the world and has been for a really long time. Our bodies live longer than any time in history, but without our spirits, within our spirits, there's a spiritual vacuum, and it needs to be filled with the presence of God. And how does he do it? He does it through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, here, who is it that gave us the Holy Spirit? It was Jesus. We don't know where we come from, why we're here, or where we're going. We're lost, and we desperately need to find a way out of our dilemma. But in order to do that, we must identify the root problem. And what is the root problem? It's found in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That would include everybody that's ever lived. So our problem is sin. I have five definitions of sin for you today if you want to write them down. The first one is, sin is lawlessness. The Bible says a person who sins breaks God's law. Sin is living against God's law. It is because we have broken God's laws and commands that we are guilty of sin. And sometimes there's this inner part of us that's broken in that war with God because we're not following his law. And we can't be at peace with ourselves because we're not at peace with him. See the connection? The next definition of sin in the Bible is the word iniquity. Iniquity is deviating from what is right. Iniquity includes the very things that we so often try to hide from other people as we're trying to hide it from God, like we can hide anything from God. The Bible describes this inner iniquity when it says in James chapter 1, people are tempted when their own evil desires leads them away and traps them. This desire leads to sin, and then sin grows in us and it brings death. The third definition of sin is missing the mark. If you've been in confirmation here with Bonnie and I, you know this one. It's like an arrow missing a target. Sin is falling short of the goal that has been set. God's goal is Christ. And the purpose of all of life is to live up to the life of Christ. And when we fail to follow his example, we miss the mark and we fall short of his standard. And we have had hundreds of confirmants and confirmation kids that we take a target and we hang it up on the wall and we give them six targets and we say, hit the bullseye every time. No, not one has hit the bullseye yet. And that would be perfection if they could do that, but we can't do that. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's missing the mark. So we have to find our peace and our satisfaction and fulfillment in Christ. We need to try, at least, to live a holy life in Christ.